We see Jesus, the disruptor, again, eating with tax collectors and notorious sinners. I wonder what that table was like. I'd like to hear what Jesus' laughter sounded like. I'd like to hear the stories they told Jesus and the welcome that was on his face and feel the warmth of his friendship. It was offensive to the religious leaders, to the teachers, to the experts of the law, of Moses, and they took offense that Jesus would be eating and drinking with sinners. And so they confront Jesus. And as Jesus often does, and as we do at St. Lydia's, he tells stories to confront their self-righteousness and their cruelty and their dismissal of human beings. The first story he tells is of three stories. It's the story of a shepherd who doesn't really practice sound farming principles. With all these sheep, 100 of them in the field where there were no fences, no leashes, where one wanders off. Most farmers, having served in Kansas for 3 years in a farming community, most of them would count their 1% loss and just go on. But this farmer is ridiculous. He runs after this wayward sheep, and then when he finds it, he is so overjoyed that he puts it on his shoulders, and as he's returning home, crying out to all of his friends and neighbors, "Rejoice with me! Join with me in celebrating the sheep that was lost that I am now bringing back into the fold." Now, as Jesus told that story, who was that message, "Rejoice for me," for? Probably the ones who were disgruntled and angry at Jesus for befriending sinners. And then the second story. And by the way, the third one is the prodigal sons that we didn't hear read. The second one is the woman who loses one coin of 10. And she also, I think, behaves in a ridiculous way. She loses the coin. It's probably in the dirt floor somewhere. She frantically lights a lamp. She gets on her hands and her knees with her forehead in the dirt, looking for this coin, sweeping and pursuing this coin until she finds it. When she finds it, she is again so overjoyed that she cannot contain the joy to herself. And so she calls her friends and her neighbors and says, "Rejoice with me. The coin that I lost has been found." And so what does she do? But probably spend more than that coin to throw a party because she wants to spread the joy that she feels. And again, what would the Pharisees and scribes be hearing but an invitation to come to that table and to join them and be a part of the celebration, which Jesus said fills heaven with all the angels that celebrate the homecoming of the wayward sheep and the wayward souls. Tim grew up in Delaware. Tim didn't like being called Tim. Tim didn't feel like a Tim. Tim grew up going across the street with his neighbor girls and playing dress up in dresses. But he felt that he had to share that just with them and couldn't share it with his family. Had to be swept underneath the rug and hidden. The greatest fear was that Tim wouldn't be accepted by his family or friends. Tim was obsessed with politics. He met Joe Biden at a restaurant, I think when they were about 9 years old. he befriended these politicians and got involved and ended up in at the American University, where they became president of their class. And on one fateful day, decided to write a message to all the student body as a farewell, coming out now as Sarah McBride. Yeah. She was overwhelmed with the love and the acceptance that she experienced from her classmates and ultimately from her family, although her mom was in fetal position crying when she first came out to her mom. But her greatest fear, the thing that was lost to her, the thing that was hidden away from her, was the notion and the dream to find someone that would find her beautiful and that would love her. She ended up going to an open house at the White House for LGBTQ folk, and she met Andy, who was a trans man. They met, they went out on a few dates, and Andy turned to her and said, "You are beautiful." They ended up getting married. He died 4 days later after marrying her. And her mother-in-law said, Andy's mother said, "You know, you'll always be part of our family. You'll always be a daughter to me." And so she was telling her this, so that giving her permission to move on in case she would enter another relationship. But what Sarah said was she was so full because of the love that she shared with Andy. So felt so complete and felt so validated for who she is that she had no plans or desire. Sarah McBride is serving as a U.S. Congresswoman now, and she's advocating for queer folk, but she goes way beyond that. Those people that are called outcasts and sinners and undesirables, those that are swept under the rug, she's gotten on her hands and feet. She's gotten her face in the dirt with that lamp to sweep up that lost coin and to show the intrinsic value, the inestimable love that they deserve as a human being. And so what's really lost on the Pharisees is that they don't see it. They don't see the value of the sinners that they call sinners. But Jesus is there to invite us to the table, just as we are here, to rejoice with the angels, the archangels, and the whole company of heaven.